The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Salnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Well, welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show, EDU edition. On today's EDU show, we're going to talk about successor beneficiaries for your IRA in a post-Secure Act world. Sounds like a terrible title to a book or something, but successor beneficiaries, not to be confused with primary beneficiaries, which most people can understand what those are. Contingent beneficiaries, not those either. We're talking about successor beneficiaries, or in other words, beneficiaries of the beneficiaries that received the IRA in the first place. So there can be times when that IRA then gets handed down, if you will, to a second set or person that is a successor beneficiary on that IRA that's already a beneficiary IRA in the first place. I'm talking in circles now probably, but Jim, are you with me?
I am here. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I'm glad that my driveway is shoveled. My back is starting to feel a little bit better, but still a little rough.
You have kids. They're supposed to do that.
Well, I only had one kid that was able at home, and that still wasn't enough help to... It was a big job out there. I didn't have a neighbor come and plow my driveway like you did.
He didn't plow it. He bulldozed it.
Okay, whatever. But yeah, one of the kids was laid up from Friday. She had a little surgery on her knee, so she had a valid excuse that she couldn't be up and shoveling around. And then the other one helps, but you know how hard kids work sometimes. Not like having a hired worker.
I don't know. They have an app now, I heard. Isn't it called the Uber of mowing and plowing? It's called Mows or Plows or Mows and Plows.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, M-O-W-Z and P-L-O-W-Z, Mows and Plows or Plows and Mows. But it's like Uber, and the plow people and mow people for your grass just are there, and you list you got a job, and they come do it.
Well, I'll have to look that up for next time. Although it's been 13 years since the last time.
I know. We hardly ever, folks.
17 years, actually, since the last time.
We hardly in Colorado, this part of Colorado, the mountains get dumped on all the time. But this part of Colorado, we usually don't get storms where you really have to remove the snow. You just wait a couple of days and it melts. But this snow was heavy, thick, wet, and pretty deep.
Well, you could have waited this out, but it was going to be a while.
Yeah, it would have been a while. So anyways, my neighbor came. He's got a front-end loader, and he came and did my driveway and a couple other people on the street. And he's a nice guy. His name's Valley. And he's a really nice guy. I like him.
Anybody who plows the snow is a nice person.
True. Okay, so today, folks, on the show, something that we haven't talked about before. That's why I kind of wanted to do it. I got the idea from a recent article I read from the Slot Group, and I figured, you know, I don't think, Chris, we've talked about successor beneficiaries. We've talked about primary beneficiaries, contingent beneficiaries, In other words, the people named on the owner's IRA account application. And when the owner dies, we always talk what happens if the spouse inherits it or if the children inherit it. But what if someone inherits an IRA from someone who had already inherited an IRA? Those people are called successor beneficiaries. And the rules, as you would expect, Chris, are different than rules governing primary and contingent beneficiaries. And it gets confusing in a post-Secure Act world because we have eligible designated beneficiaries, designated beneficiary, and it gets really confusing on what happens when someone inherits an IRA from someone who inherited an IRA. So we hope to clear the air on today's show with that.
It's a lot of inheriting going on.
A lot of movements going on here, folks. But I'll try to dumb this down so even Chris understands it.
Thank you.
No problem. And hopefully people will find this interesting. I do. So we'll see. Now, we're not going to get too deep, Chris, for obvious reasons. The rules prior to the Secure Act don't really apply anymore. So we're not going to get into the weeds. We're going to give you a very brief summary, folks, on what those rules used to be. We're not going to get into the rabbit holes or the weeds of the, well, what if this, then that type things, because they don't apply anymore. But I think having an understanding of what used to happen to 75, 80% of people who inherited an IRA under the old rules will help you understand the new rules. So under the old rules, which came into play in 2000, when the Stretch IRA was first born. So many people talk about the Stretch. We mentioned this before, Chris. People talk about the Stretch IRA like it always was the rule of the land with IRAs. Stretch, the ability for the beneficiary of an IRA, the primary beneficiary, inheriting it at the death of the owner, to stretch that IRA out over their life expectancy, those rules didn't come into being until 2000. And then they became so ingrained, Chris, in everybody's mindset when the government got rid of that rule 20 years later with the passage of the Secure Act, a lot of people are up in arms, if you will, saying, oh, my children can't stretch my IRA anymore. That's not fair. To which I point out they never could until 2000 stretch it. And the government just got rid of something that they enacted 20 years earlier. And 20 years from now, Chris, when we're doing this show still, the rules will probably be different again.
Would you agree? Whoever's doing this show at the time will advise everyone as to how those things have changed.
Well, that'll be you and I.
We'll see.
Maybe by then I'll have you up to three shows a week.
If I do, let me ask you this. If I do three shows a week, can we stop before 20 years from now?
I don't know. We'll see. Okay, folks. So what we want to talk about is give you a brief summary of what would happen under the old rules. And we're talking non-spouse beneficiary here, like children. Under the old rules, the stretch rules that came into being in 2000, under those rules, your beneficiary, when they inherited, your children, when they inherited the account, would have broken the IRA into separate IRAs if there were multiple children named on the beneficiary form. They would have broken that IRA by December 31st of the year following the owner's death. By September 31st, the designation date, everybody not removed from the IRA would have been used to determine the payout schedule. I'm getting a little deep into the weeds. This is as deep as I'm going to get there. Mm-hmm. But the account itself had to be broken up by December 31st. So many people used to confuse, Chris, the designation date, September 31st, the designation date of September 31st with the payout date of December 31st.
There's only 30 days in September.
Oh, well, whatever. September 30th then. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. But under the old rules, your child would step in, would take out a table called the single life table. Look on the single life table for their age when, Chris?
The year after the year the person passed away. So not the age on the day the person passed away, but the age in the year. So what age they turn the year following the year of death.
Exactly. So they would look at the single life table for their age the year after death. And let's just say that number, Chris, was 36. And the reason I'm using that number is I was actually calculating an inherited distribution today for a client who inherited under the old rules as a non-spouse beneficiary. And their original divisor was 36. It is now 31. It has been 5 years since they inherited the account. So I'm going to use 36 because it was stuck in my mind. So if your child inherited the IRA and their age was just perfect in the example that I gave, I think that would be someone about 48 or 49 years old when they inherited it. The account would stay open for 36 years. The single life table, folks, set how long an inherited IRA by a non-spouse beneficiary can remain open. And the number they give you is the divisor on a calculation, mm-hmm, where you would take the December 31st value of the year before, divide it by that number, and that's how much you had to take out the first year. And then what would you do subsequent years, Chris?
You'd subtract one from that divisor each year, so it drops by a whole number, one, every single year. You don't go back to the table, which is what you do if you're using the table for your own IRA at RMDs. And as a reminder, these are the rules prior to the SECURE Act. So if you just stepped in listening to the podcast, you missed that first part. We're revisiting what happened before the SECURE Act.
Exactly. So that's how you would do it. That's why the client I helped today, their original divisor was 36. It is now 31. Next year, it'll be 30. 29 years from now, it'll be 1. And then in the 30th year, whatever is left is distributed. Mm-hmm. So that's how you used to do it. And the single life table kind of set, Chris, the length of time that someone, a non-spouse beneficiary, inherited an account, how long that IRA could stay open. And that's, mm-hmm, what created the stretch.
And a lot of people still have that because they inherited IRAs before the SECURE Act. If you were already on that schedule where you were, quote, stretching it out, you can continue. So as long as the person passed away leaving the IRA before 2020, you're good to go.
Exactly. And it was for non-spouse beneficiaries. I keep, mm-hmm, stressing that because spouses have their own special rules. Today we're talking non-spouse beneficiaries. Okay. Enter the SECURE Act, which took place January 1st of 2020. Did a lot of changes to the tax code. One of the biggest changes, it abolished what the Bush administration created in 2000, the second Bush administration, what they created in 2000 with the stretch. In 2000, the Trump administration removed it with the SECURE Act. And the SECURE Act said when a non-spouse beneficiary inherits an IRA, the IRA must be paid out within 10 years of death. And there is no required minimum distributions, unlike the stretch IRA, the example I gave with a 36-year payout, those payouts had to begin the year after death. Under the SECURE Act, you only get a 10-year payout, but the trade-off is there are no required minimum distributions for the first 9 years. You don't have to take anything out if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. You just have to close the entire account by December 31st. Of the 10th year. Non-spouse beneficiaries here again, folks. So we explained those rules on prior shows. We also explained that there is a loophole or exemption, if you will, to non-spouse beneficiaries. And obviously, there's always an exemption for spousal beneficiaries, but we're talking non-spouse beneficiaries on today's show. That certain people could still get the stretch as it existed prior to the Secure Act. And again, we have shows on that. But in short, they're called Eligible Designated Beneficiaries, EDBs, which I'm not going to say because I'll keep screwing that up. I'm just going to call them Eligible Designated Beneficiaries. But in short, it was your spouse is obviously an eligible designated beneficiary. Minor children, while they're minors, once they are no longer considered minors, the age of majority for your state, once they reach that age, then they have the 10-year rule apply. But prior to that, they can do the stretch. Disabled people can do the stretch. Chronically ill people can do the stretch. Now, there's very strict rules of what a disabled person is and what a chronically ill person is. We're not going to get into that. And one that screws up a lot of people, a beneficiary not more than 10 years younger. I said it right this time.
You did. You nailed it.
I know. Not more than 10 years younger than the person who died. In other words, they being the government, wanted to make sure your kids didn't qualify for this. They're not going to let you pass wealth on to your children and let your children stretch those payments out over their remaining life expectancy. Because that could be 60 years, 50 years, 40 years, 36 years in case of the client I helped today. But if your brother or sister or friend, you could just have a best friend and you kind of, most friends are within 10 years of each other, usually within that same generation, if you will. And your brothers and sisters are usually within 10 years of your age. Not all the time. You can have brothers and sisters more than 10 years younger than you. But if someone is not more than 10 years younger than you, that person, Chris, would go to the single life table and do the old stretch rules, correct?
Mm-hmm. They could, yes.
Exactly. But those people are the ones who get the exemption. But what happens, Chris, in so let me back up there before I ask you what happens. Let me set the stage, folks, and then I'll ask Chris what happens. You really got two scenarios here, though, Chris. You got a small window, if you will, of beneficiaries who could still stretch if they fall in the categories of one of those exemptions. Mm-hmm. Minor children, disabled people, chronically ill people, or not more than 10 years younger, or a spouse.
And the minor children, just as a clarification, they don't get to use the old stretch rules. They just get the 10-year rule with a delay. The delay ends when they become age of majority. So just to clarify, because you know, not all eligible designated beneficiaries are created equal, in other words.
Okay. Where did I leave off? I had notes here.
Sorry to derail you.
You screwed me all up. I was on a
well,
roll.
Well, I know, because, you know, if you had siblings that weren't more than 10 years, they get to use the old stretch, right? They can stretch using the old single life tables. Disabled can use the old single life tables. Minor children are almost like their very own classification of eligible designated beneficiary because they just simply don't have the 10-year clock start until they reach the age of majority, but there still is that 10-year clock built on there. So they don't really have the old stretch rules. They just have better than the new 10-year rule.
But they do have to take RMDs beginning of the year after death. But when they reach the age of majority, then the 10-year rule turns on. That was my understanding. I could be wrong on that.
I don't think that's true.
Well, you can look that up as I go in on this.
It's certainly possible because the rules, as people know, have been following the show.
That's what I...
Rules for like stuff like this can be bizarro. So I'll confirm that real quick while Jim's
talking.
Yeah,
if you could. I mean, you hit me with that out of the blue, but I could totally be wrong on this. I do have a dead spot in my head, if you remember. So post-stroke. I can blame my stroke on everything now, can't I?
For a while. We'll give you for a while, but there'll come a day when
there'll come a day when that won't work.
Right, exactly.
But that's what I thought, Chris, but I could be wrong on that. I'm by far not a perfect person, so do check on that just to make sure. Okay, folks, as Chris is researching that, back to what I wanted to talk about. You really have two scenarios here, folks, if you stop and think about it. You have a small subset of beneficiaries, excuse me, who may be able to benefit and still get the stretch IRA. And then you're going to have a much wider group of beneficiaries who are going to be stuck with the 10-year rule. They're going to have to close the inherited IRA within 10 years of inheriting it. Today's show, though, is going to cover what happens if either of those two classes of beneficiaries, those who have been exempted under the Secure Act, are an eligible designated beneficiary, EDB, and can continue with the old stretch rules? And what if you are a new beneficiary or the post-Secure Act must close it within 10 years? What happens if they die, folks, before the IRA is emptied? That's a successor beneficiary. What happens if a successor beneficiary inherits it? Did you find anything out, Chris?
I did. You are correct that minor children must...
I'm sorry. I was coughing when you said... can you back up? I couldn't hear what you said.
I forgot what I said there.
It's something about your something, and then I
read a clarification to the rule.
But you clearly said something.
Yes, in this case, you were right, John.
Ah, okay. I thought that's what you said. Go ahead, carry on.
Yes, you were correct that the RMDs begin immediately or the year after death for minor children of the decedent, of the person who owned the IRA, but then they kick into the 10 years, and I misremembered, I guess would be the way to say that. That fact that you have to take them while you're still a minor. So it's kind of this weird blend, but you don't get the full stretch indefinitely. You essentially get kicked from an eligible designated beneficiary to simply a designated beneficiary when you reach the age of majority. So they kind of change classification is how they pulled this off in the rules. So you'd take your RMDs as if you were going to take them for the rest of your life, but then, when you turn 18, 19, 20, 21, depending on the state and the circumstances, when you reach the age of majority, it is defined by the state in which you reside.
And some states are 24 if you're still in college.
Right. So, you know, talk about confusing. Depending on where you are and your status, you can be quite a range of age of majority. But at that point, then, you don't have to take RMDs anymore. You've got the 10-year period. So you kind of shift gears, if you will, at that point. As a reminder on those, it's minor children of the decedent, not just minor children, period.
True, yes.
So grandchildren don't count.
Nope, grandchildren
don't. Even though they are minors.
And that's a good thing you brought that up. Mm-hmm. To this day, I can guarantee you I run into people every year, usually CPAs, and we are not digging CPAs. We love CPAs, and you guys are great. But for some reason, we still run into people who think grandchildren count. They don't. And Ed Slott is adamant on that.
Well, it's the law that's stated very clearly, minor children of the decedent. And that means something specific.
Correct.
Of the decedent.
Of the decedent.
Right.
Okay, so we got some clarification on that. So back to playing my little game. I'm going to give you scenario then, Chris. Okay.
Oh, no. Well, I wasn't paying attention much before this because I was reading about this.
Well, that's okay, but okay. Scenarios are the best way to kind of describe these rules.
Okay.
So you agree there is a small subset of beneficiaries that are called eligible designated beneficiaries who get the stretch.
Yes.
Minor children, disabled people, chronically ill people, spouses, and people not more than 10 years younger.
Yes.
Okay?
Get it.
So let's say we have someone, we shall call him... George.
Creative.
Never used that before. So let's say we have George, and George inherited an IRA from his dad before the Secure Act came into play.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So George is stretching. And let's say, let's use 36. Let's say George inherited the IRA when he was 47. He goes to the single life table the following year. And I think that's the client case I just described today. Mm-hmm. And his initial divisor, if you will, is 36.
Okay.
That IRA mm-hmm. is going to stay open for 36 years. And George names on his beneficiary form, successor beneficiary form, to inherit in equal shares a third to his spouse, a third to his disabled brother, and a third to his minor daughter. So you can see what I've successfully done is named three what?
Potentially eligible designated beneficiaries.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Chris, would happen post-Secure Act in that situation I just laid out? So we have George passes away after the Secure Act. He was a successor beneficiary.
No, he
was the primary beneficiary, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But he has an inherited IRA.
Mm-hmm. That he's started to stretch it on.
Correct. And he names three beneficiaries, and he dies post-Secure Act. He named his spouse, he named his minor daughter, and his disabled brother. Mm-hmm. What do you think in that scenario those three beneficiaries have to do?
Well, as long as he passes away after the Secure Act, so after January 1st of 2020, then it's almost like they don't kick you into the new rules until you have an event after January 1st of 2020. The event in this case is George, who was the primary beneficiary originally, now leaves it to three successor beneficiaries, and they then essentially get a brand new 10-year clock at that point, but can stretch no longer. They can't step into the shoes of George. They can't stretch it for a long period of time. They've got 10 years now. And actually, strangely enough, George was collecting RMDs this whole time, was required to because he was stretching. Those RMDs stop now. And those successor beneficiaries, even though if they were primary beneficiaries on the original IRA, would have had special treatment because of this eligible designated beneficiary idea of the Secure Act. Successor beneficiaries don't enjoy those same benefits, and they get saddled with the 10-year rule, but at least they get to start over with a brand new 10-year rule.
Exactly. Perfect. You nailed it. He hit the nail off the head, on the head.
I hit it so hard I knocked it off.
You knocked it off the head. That's right. all three of those beneficiaries, listeners, are eligible designated beneficiaries, and they would be allowed to stretch under the old rules if they wanted to. But because they were successor beneficiaries and not primary beneficiaries, they have to take it out over 10 years. They'll mm-hmm. get a 10-year payout period, but they cannot stretch over their life expectancy, nor can they step into the shoes of George and continue with his 30-plus year payout schedule. They could have if he died December 31st, 2019 or earlier. Mm-hmm. But in our example, he died after January 1st, 2020. When, it doesn't matter, as long as it's after the Secure Act. Now let's change the facts of the case just a little bit, Chris, okay? Let's say George inherits the IRA on January 2nd or any time after January 2nd, post-Secure Act, George inherits it. Under the old rules, he could have stretched it for 36 years, as we described. Mm-hmm. But now, primary beneficiary, non-spouse, primary beneficiary. Under the Secure Act, Chris, let's just say he doesn't qualify as an eligible designated beneficiary. He's not a spouse. He's not a minor child. He's not disabled. He's not incapacitated. What do you think he has to do now, Chris?
Well, he's going to fall under this new 10-year rule, so he doesn't get the stretch in the first place. And in our story, he's the first person receiving this IRA. I don't know if you mentioned who it was from, a parent or something.
Say it was from his parent, that matter.
So he received this. He's now got a 10-year clock. He doesn't have any RMDs other than the rule that he must distribute the entire thing by the end of the 10th year following the year of death.
Exactly.
So I bet you're going to now kill him off, huh?
Yeah, so now we're going to bump him off. Let's say he dies 5 years into his 10-year period.
Mm-hmm.
He still has his spouse named as a successor beneficiary, his minor child, let's say she's still 5 years later, a minor child, and his disabled brother. What do you think happens now?
Well, all three of them, unlike before, who get to start their own new 10-year clock, if this were to happen, if he had received it, if George had inherited before the Secure Act, now that he had his own 10-year clock, that clock never stops. Even when the successor beneficiaries step in, they're forced to hold to that original timetable. They've still got the original 10-year period. So you said George used up five. They only have another 5 years to distribute that out in order to meet the requirements under the Secure Act.
Exactly. And think back, folks. It all makes sense if you understand. Well, it makes sense in the eyes of the government who writes the rules. Let's put it that way. But under the old stretch rules, folks, especially in the scenario I described with George inherited an IRA from his father, and his original divisor, I said, we're basing it on an actual client I helped today, was 36. I said that IRA could stay open for 36 more years under the old rules. Wouldn't stay open for more than that, but could stay open for 36 years. And if the primary beneficiary died, the successor beneficiary steps into their shoes. Mm-hmm. So if he died under the old rules 5 years into it, his beneficiaries would have been able to keep that IRA open for 31 more years. Well, that's kind of what's happening now. Except when he inherits it, when the first primary beneficiary, non-spouse, non-eligible designated beneficiary inherits the IRA. It's set, is it not, Chris? It's just not 36 years, it's set to 10 years.
So it's still stepping into their shoes. Right. It's just got a lot shorter lifespan.
Smaller shoes.
Yeah, kind of.
That's all it's doing. The government is saying, look, we're going to give someone who inherited an IRA under the old stretch rules, we're going to give those successor beneficiaries a little bit of a break. We'll give them their own brand new 10-year payout. They cannot step into the shoes of the decedent. Now, there is kind of a good loophole there. Let's say someone inherited it with a 36-year payout and died 35 years into a 36-year payout. Under the old rules, the successor beneficiary had to step in and had 1 year to go.
Well,
now they got 10. Now, granted, there's not going to be much money. I was going to say, there's not going to be much money by then. There's a trade-off, but I'm just making a point.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the government is doing under the new rules is really, I don't want to say it's no different, but they're basing it off the same concept. You're stepping into their shoes. The shoes are just a heck of a lot smaller. But like everything, Chris, there is one, shall we say, exception to that rule. Do you have any idea what that would be?
Exception to the stepping into their shoes rule?
Yes. When it's a very rare exception where the successor beneficiary is not tied into the 10-year rule. Do you know what that would be? You have a primary beneficiary who inherited it, names a successor beneficiary, and they wouldn't have to step in.
I don't know off the top of my head who the exception would cover. So, no, I don't know.
Okay. This is you're not going to see this too often, folks, but if you ever play in Financial Trivial Pursuit, you could win the show on this. Do they have Financial Trivial Pursuit?
I don't know. They should.
They should. Yeah, that would be good. Maybe we should make one.
Yeah, in our spare time.
The one rare exception occurs when a spouse inherits the IRA as a primary beneficiary. And that spouse, as you know, Chris, and 99% of them will move that IRA into their own. And I'm making that percentage up. I don't know what it actually is. But the vast majority of spouses, right, will move the IRA into their own and not have to name a successor beneficiary. They're going to name a primary beneficiary. But in the rare case where the spouse, and they have this choice, and only spouses have this choice, if the spouse keeps the account as an inherited IRA, so they become a successor beneficiary, which, again, is the same choice that a non-spouse can do. What I meant to say is there is a special rule, though, that applies to that spouse. Do you have any idea what that's? I know you know what it is, but do you know what the special rule I'm thinking of is? Can you think of it? So you have a spouse who steps in as a beneficiary, not treating it as their own, and you have just a regular Joe Blow, a child, who doesn't qualify for any of the exemptions. What sets the difference apart for that spouse?
Well, the spouse can wait until the original owner of the account turned 72 to start RMDs.
Exactly. Chris, again, hit the nail right out of the ball, ball right out of the ballpark. Right? Yeah, I nailed it. I got that.
So a successor to that gets a special rule?
Yes.
Interesting.
So there are cases where the spouse will want to keep an inherited IRA. And there are, I don't want to get too deep into when those cases are, but there are some legit reasons why you would want to do that. But that spouse, and only the spouse, they get to use the old rules. They're not tied into the Secure Act rules. And the old rules said the spouse does not have to begin required minimum distributions on their inherited IRA until the deceased spouse would have turned 72. Because that's the age now of RMDs.
Right.
Years ago, it used to be 70 and a half. Now it's 72. If the spouse dies during that time period, she's beneficiary, or he, doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be a she or a he, but she'll be a she in our example. She still can name a successor beneficiary, Chris, and let's say she does, her child.
Okay.
But if she dies before the deceased spouse reaches 72, the child beneficiary, the successor beneficiary, if you will, they can treat, well, they don't treat the IRA, but they then start their own 10 years from that period, even if she died 10, 15 years into inheriting it. So let's say the deceased was 50.
So they still don't get to step in the shoes of their mother in this particular case, but they at least get to start their own 10-year clock, essentially because the original beneficiary never had to start a 10-year clock to begin with. So the clock never got started.
Correct.
So then they start a fresh one when the successor.
Essentially, what the IRS or the government, because they wrote the rules, say, in that one rare instant, it's almost as if the successor beneficiary did not inherit it from the primary beneficiary, the spouse in this case, but the original decedent.
Got it.
And what is the rule?
That is going to be pretty rare.
The rule is 10 years.
Yeah.
Yes, you're going to. And here's how it would happen, folks, because you might be sitting there saying, why the hell would someone want to do that when the spouse who died is younger than the spouse who's living? If the spouse who's living was to take that IRA and move it to their own, RMDs would have to start sooner because they're older. Mm-hmm. Let's say there's a 10-year age difference between the two, Chris, and the younger spouse dies at 50, the older spouse inherits it at 60, okay? Or 60 and 70 to make this even tighter. Well, if the 70-year-old spouse says, I'm going to treat this as my own IRA, he or she has to begin RMDs in 2 years.
Yep.
So they say, I'm going to stay and keep this as a beneficiary IRA. Even though it's post-Secure Act rules, I'm allowed to do this.
Yep.
I've been grandfathered. And under the old rules, I could stay as beneficiary. So I'm going to name a successor beneficiary. Now, the decedent died at 60. There's 12 years to go before RMDs begin. Let's say that the living spouse, I don't know what we're calling them, the living spouse dies 11 years into it, Chris. So RMDs haven't begun, but you are past the 10-year the 10-year payout period under the Secure Act, correct?
Yes.
So you would think the successor beneficiary either has to close the IRA right away, it's been 11 years, or the spouse has to close it in the 10th year. None of that applies. What the government says is the successor beneficiary is going to be considered to have inherited it originally from the original decedent, and they would get a 10-year payout. So now that IRA made it, 21 years.
Yeah.
But had the spouse moved it to her own and died, it would have been subject to a 10-year payout.
Not only made it 21 years in your example, but 21 years without a single RMD owed that entire time.
Correct. 21 years without an RMD, just growing.
Yeah. Interesting.
A very rare exception, but one that y'all must be aware of. So the key to remember, folks, is when a successor beneficiary steps in, when did the primary beneficiary inherit the account? If they inherited it before January 1st, 2020, a new 10-year period. You follow me?
Yep.
If they inherited it after January 1st of 2020, the successor beneficiary steps into the shoes and might be faced with a massive payout because they step into that 10-year window. And if that successor beneficiary died 8, 9, 9.5 years into inheriting the account and hadn't liquidated it yet, that successor beneficiary has a very small payout window. Does that make sense?
Yep, totally.
Perfect. Well, I think that covers what I wanted to explain.
Yeah, I think we tackled that. It is kind of confusing, and that is a weird exception, that one where you don't restart or you don't step into the 10-year is kind of bizarre, but it's what the show's known for, right? Heading off into the weeds and giving you all the exceptions and what if this, what if that kind of scenarios. So I'm sure people appreciate it.
Two quick things I want to carry on with just to make sure I clear the air here. Do remember, folks, if you inherited an IRA prior to the passage of the Secure Act, non-spouse beneficiary prior to the passage of the Secure Act, you can continue with your stretch out, just like the client I helped today. She still has 31 more years that she can keep that IRA going. And if she was to pass away and has named a successor beneficiary, whether that is her spouse or her children, they can't step into her shoes. They get a brand new 10-year payout. But as long as she's alive, that IRA can stay open for as much as 31 more years. If she was to pass away 20 years from now, then it would stay open for just 10 more years. So keep that in mind. And the final thing for those real geeks who want to geek out on this, or CPAs who may be reading the actual code and wondering what in the heck is going on, but in section 401A, subsection 9 of an act called the Further Consolidation Appreciation Act, where they kind of defined a lot of the stuff of the Secure Act, they only specified everything that we described to you when an eligible designated beneficiary passes away, which is the scenario that I described to you. They never talked about what would happen if a non-eligible designated beneficiary inherits an IRA, when a person inherits an IRA from a non-eligible designated beneficiary. I might be getting too deep into the weeds here, but what Ed Slott wanted to point out, he sent out a notice to us, and that's kind of the reason I wanted to talk about this. When he read the clarification, which clearly stated there's only one 10-year payout period. Each successor beneficiary doesn't get their own 10-year payout, which was what was causing a lot of confusion. Everybody thought if you inherited the IRA, you don't have to take any distributions. And if you pass for the first 10 years, and if you pass away, your successor gets their own 10-year, and then their successor gets their own 10-year. That's how people thought it worked at first. Well, they added clarification to say, there's only one 10-year payout. In that notice, they always reference eligible designated beneficiaries, eligible designated beneficiaries. Ed says if you inherit an IRA from someone who wasn't an eligible designated beneficiary, you should still assume you're stepping into the shoes of the 10-year payout, even though they don't specifically say that in the clarification section. You should assume that. And do keep that in mind, because even Ed goes on to say that there's just not enough clarification. He wrote, I'll give you Ed's words, "Unfortunately, it is near impossible to make the Secure Act completely user-friendly. While we expect our analysis that we shared with you of the rules to hold true when the IRS eventually provides further additional guidance, many questions of ours still remain unanswered." So in other words, Chris, even Ed says you could probably find scenarios that fall outside of these boxes and we have no guidance yet. Mm-hmm. No guidance whatsoever. And the guidance to give the documents or the regulations to give us guidance create their own sets of questions as well. And this isn't unheard of, folks. The government made massive changes to rules that have been around for 20 years. And we are going to see yet further and further guidance of what happens in different cases. And we haven't even gotten into trusts. And what if they're a see-through trust or a non-see-through trust? What if a spouse is just beneficiary of the trust? There's a lot of questions that still remain with regard to the Secure Act and successor beneficiaries. But the key is to look at when the original IRA owner died, when the primary beneficiary inherited it, pre-Secure Act or post-Secure Act, and then you'll know if you get, as a successor beneficiary, if you get your own 10-year payout, or if you have to step in to whatever years are remaining on the original 10-year payout.
Yeah, perfect. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening in again on a Retirement and IRA Show EDU edition. If you have any ideas for future EDU shows, we love to hear them. We come up with our own sometimes, and sometimes we take audience call-outs, if you will. Just go to our website, jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. On there, you'll find a contact form. You can send us any of your ideas. You can learn a little bit more about us on the website as well. We'll be doing another Q&A later this week, so look forward to that. Anything else you want to say before we bail out, Jim?
We're not putting two EDU shows out this week.
That's why I said Q&A.
Oh, Q&A. I thought you said EDU. Never mind.
No.
No, yes, we are going to do a Q&A show later on this week, so we will chat with everybody then. Oh, and I do want to give a quick shout-out to everyone who has graciously shared their experience with ablations, Chris. I've received four or five emails, another one this afternoon from people. The general consensus, the buildup is more worrisome than the actual event.
Perfect.
I hope they're right, because I'm freaking out
on this. That's what Jim needs to hear, so that's good.
But now everyone says they like me, were worried because, you know, they're going to go up your leg, into your heart, start cauterizing it and grilling it while you're alive, essentially. And but they said for me not to get worked up over it, that so far no one has written with horrendous experiences. So I do want to thank everyone who has had ablations to treat AFib, reaching out to me and pretty much telling me not to worry. It could be a grand conspiracy where everyone's getting together. Oh, don't tell him the truth. Let's lie to him. But hopefully they are telling me the truth, and I should have nothing to worry about, because I go under the knife pretty damn soon.
Yeah,
I think it's next week, isn't it? Or do I have one more reprieve? Yeah, I got one more week, and then I go under. Yeah. Okay. All right, but anyways, folks, I do want to thank everyone who has written to me. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Chris will share with you ways of getting a hold of us if you have an idea for an EDU show or want to send us a Q&A, a Q for our A on the next Q&A show.
Yep. Perfect. Talk to you later, Jim.
All right. Talk to you later, Chris. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thanks again for everybody listening. We'll be back next week with a brand new show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Salmier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Salmier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salmier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.